Welcome to Through the Bible with Pastor Michael, a podcast from First Baptist Church in Mustang, Oklahoma. Here's Pastor Michael.
All right, this will be our last reading for the month of April. When we get to May, we will pick back up with where we leave off in the book of Judges. But today we are looking at Judges 10, 11, and 12. Five observations as we read through the stories today. One is we meet Tola and Jair, who are the new judges. Again, we're just continuing this cycle of God raising up people who are their judges, their deliverers. And then, as we'll see here in just a moment, that continual cycle, the judges that we've been talking about each day, continues. But we meet these two new judges in the first part of our reading today. That leads to a second observation that Israel rebels. The Philistines and Ammonites war against them, and then the people repent. So, same song, different verse. God raises up judges, and the result of that tells us that the people turn to disobedience, and because of disobedience, punishment comes in the form of the Philistines and the Ammonites warring against them. And then the people cry out to the Lord, chapter 10, verse 10, "We have sinned against you because we have forsaken our God." And then eventually it tells us in verse 16 that they put away their foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. So we just see that cycle continuing that we've been talking about. A third observation, Jephthah defeated the Ammonites. We read about that as Jephthah is used to deliver them in their battle against the Ammonites. Sadly, a fourth observation is Jephthah made a foolish vow and sacrificed his daughter. The end of chapter 11 is just a really dark episode that takes place as he makes this vow. And then he says, "I'll offer up whoever is the first one to come out of the house." And it's his daughter. A fifth observation, the Ephraimites wage war against Jephthah, and 42,000 of the Ephraimites die in that conflict, in that battle. So we read about that in Judges 12. So what does this mean? Some of these passages where it's just stories, these episodes, these battles of people's foolish, sinful behavior, we might wonder, Are there lessons for us? I think there are. I think as we read these three chapters today, I actually think there's a couple of different lessons we can learn from their life and their failures that I think would be quite helpful for us to remember. Number one, the people failed at driving out all of the enemies in the land they were originally told to do, okay? Because of that failure, it created a conflict. So my first application, a little bit longer than normal. The people faced enemies because their parents did not fully obey God. So our application would be, our disobedience today impacts our children. Let's be clear that the people that we're reading about in Judges 10, Judges 11, they're accountable. They're responsible for their own sin. They're responsible for their own disobedience. And they are continual in this cycle of disobedience and rebellion. And that's their responsibility. They are accountable to the Lord for that. But it is worth noting that all these enemies that are around them that keep making life difficult for them, that keep waging war on them, that are this thorn in the side for them, they're there. These enemies are there because their parents did not fully obey God. So it's not about passing the blame, but it is about recognizing this truth that our disobedience today impacts our children. With that in mind, a second application, let your spiritual legacy be of faithfulness and complete trust in the Lord. Again, this generation and judges cannot blame their parents for their own disobedience. But it is true that because their parents were not fully obedient, it left terrible situations for them. And for us today, let's just learn the lesson from that, that we want our spiritual legacy that we would pass down to our children to be that of faithfulness and of complete trust in the Lord and of full surrender to His Word and to His will. A third application, we must guard our words and not speak flippantly. This is the error that Jephthah makes. He speaks and makes this vow so flippantly and foolishly. We at least can learn this lesson that we need to be careful with our words. You know, I think about the psalmist who says, "You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth, so I will let my words be few." James, let me be slow to speak, slow to become angry, and quick to listen. And so you see this admonition in the Old and New Testament that we ought to be careful with our words, guarding our words. So I would just say a third application, guard your words and do not speak flippantly. A fourth application, being led and driven by emotion is a foolish way to live and to make choices. We see that in the reading in chapter 12. People who are making these decisions based purely on emotion, on their feelings, indulging in their feelings of anger or feelings slighted or left out. It's a really dangerous way to try to live and to make decisions. And so make sure that you're not being driven by emotion in your decisions. Now, let me be very clear. Emotion by itself is not a bad thing. God has made us emotional beings. We should feel love, and we should feel excitement, and we should feel joy, and we should feel passion, and we should feel even a righteous anger at times. Emotion is not the enemy. The problem is our emotion is not what should drive us. Our emotion is not how we make choices. When you wake up in the morning and you say, "I don't really feel like going to work today," it's a bad way to make the choice of will you go to work today or not. If you make your choice according to priority and discipline and providing for your family and being a faithful worker, you get up and go to work no matter how you feel. But if you say, "I will make my choice every morning based simply on the emotion of the day," you're going to be without a job very quickly. If an athlete says, "I will go to practice on days I feel like going, on days I'm emotionally excited to go, and on other days I'm not emotionally excited to go, I'll stay home from practice." Well, that player is not going to be on the team for very long. It's not going to work that way. You can't make decisions in life based on emotion. It's not that emotion is bad. It's that it makes a bad God or a bad way to be led. Emotions can be helpful things to express our thoughts and our feelings, but emotions make dangerous ways to make choices. Instead, we want to live by priority, not on emotion. Conversely, I would also say people who are always seeking and craving and this new emotional high to sustain them are looking to the wrong thing. Look to the constancy of God's Word through the work of His Spirit. I don't want us to be emotionless robots as we pursue the Lord, not at all. I want us to feel love and feel a sense of awe and wonder. I think of the hymn writer who said we're lost in wonder, love, and praise. That all those things should be true for us. But we're not seeking the experience. We're not seeking the emotional buzz. We're seeking the truth of God's Word. We're seeking to know Christ more, to love Him more through the revelation of His Word. We're not seeking just the emotional buzz. And then a fifth application, seek to live in peace as much as is possible. That would have been helpful for the people in Judges 12. And the book of Romans tells us, as much as depends on you, live in peace with all men. Not always possible, but as much as depends on you, live in peace with all men. Seek to live peaceful lives. And then a summary of Psalm 71. Our God is our rock from childhood to old age and each step in between. The psalmist says, you've been my rock since childhood. The psalmist says, don't depart, don't leave me in my old age. I'm going to need you then too. And so we thank and praise the Lord that He is our rock when we're little. He's our rock through our younger days. He's our rock in our final days. And He is the rock that we can trust, the rock upon which we can plant our feet and build our lives every step in between. When you're young, cry out to the Lord. When you're old, trust and rest in knowing He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He is our rock from childhood to old age, and every single step and season of life in between. And I hope that is an encouragement to you today. God bless. We'll see you back when the month of May arrives.